This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 through the Fan in Dallas, joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105 through the Fan in Dallas. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network, and he is the godfather, really, of the Cowboys draft community. That's kind of like, I mean, that will be... One day, years down the road, Brian, hopefully like 40 years down the road, whenever we get your obituary, it will say that you were the godfather of the Cowboys draft community. That's how I view it.
I've already asked David Hellman to do my eulogy.
Oh, yeah? I mean, he edited so many of your articles.
He edited every article I wrote for DallasCowboys.com. I'm so grateful for him for doing that, because as... folks that have followed along, I can't put two sentences together. And I go back and I listen to our broadcasts here, and I'm almost embarrassed at times. When I'm like, last night I was listening to our show from the other day, and I'm like, gosh, I sound like an idiot. I have good knowledge. It's just getting it all out there. But I'm proud of the draft community. I really am. I'm proud of the Jeff Kavanaughs, the Kevin Turners, the Dame Bruglers. Very proud of you, Aisha Morrison, Kyle Yeomans and what he's done. Nick Harris is brand new to it. Wolchuk has taken this and gone forward. I'm proud of all the men and women out there that really have a love and a passion for the draft and do the best they can to get, whether that's the YouTube or somehow you hook and crook some tape somewhere. You're at least trying to learn about the players, and that part I appreciate very, very much.
Absolutely. And it's all you gave them all the investigate and educate itch, Brian. That was you. So, Brian, today we are going to look. We are, as of yesterday, we are 2 weeks out from the NFL draft, from the first round of this draft. So today, kind of what I want to do before, obviously, we get into the mailbag at the end of the segment, I wanted to take a look at, hey, inside of 2 weeks now, let's really drill down on who we think these names are going to be at 24. Because, I mean, obviously, it's been pretty broad. The last several years, really since Mike McCarthy got here, it's not been totally easy to just nail down who they're targeting with their first pick. And I think in a lot of ways, they've kind of just let the board come to them and then just, you know, let things progress and then figure things out as it goes along, that they've got their stack and they're ready to attack it in any way that they see fit based on who falls down the draft board to them. So, Brian, let's just talk about some of these names that we think could be options for them at 24. Because I think right now for me, if I were to look at the list of players, I think realistically, man, Brian, I don't know. I think I've maybe got it narrowed down to like five guys, I think, roughly, that I think it could be there at 24. So for you right now, who is your odds-on favorite? And then we'll talk about guys that are around there. Who do you think is the favorite to be picked by the Cowboys in just under 2 weeks?
I think I can name the position more than I can name the player, but I think they're going to take one of these centers. And I think if Barton from Duke is on the board, I think they hand that card in. I'm a little bit taken to not being really sure about Powers Johnson, but I have a feeling that he is going to be in the mix. I think one of these centers is going to go at 24. I'd like to believe that, and on the draft show yesterday, we traded back with San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then that seemed to work out, you know, pretty well for us there by taking the BYU offensive tackle. But
Kingsley Suamataia.
Yeah. But Barton was gone. And we determined that Powers Johnson, that maybe that we'll take one of these tackles and see what happens at center. And we'll see if in fact, Frazier or Van Pran or one of those guys could maybe get to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out that way. It wasn't Frazier. But we did have an option that we looked at, you know, pretty strongly there. So... but I think it's going to be a center, Bobby. If I had to say right now which direction they're going to go, I think center's the position.
See, and it's interesting to me, the Cowboys historically have been all about contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at what puts the Cowboys in the best possible position for success to be able to have their contingencies in place, given the way their roster looks right now. Because I think we've all figured out it's offensive line feels like the pick. And I think that they've clearly been hunting that position. But when you look at it, Brian, I think that, all right, given the collection of guys you have on this roster right now, from center out to the left, center, left guard, left tackle, what is... If I play Tyler Smith at left guard, do I feel like I have an NFL starting left tackle on my roster right now?
No.
I don't think so. If I play Tyler Smith at left tackle, do I feel like I have an NFL starting left guard on my roster right now?
Yes.
I think you do feel like TJ Bass can do that for you if you need.
Yes.
So to me, if you're all about contingencies and you're watching the way this board falls, and you say, man, we need a center, potentially a guard or a tackle, depending on how we play things. To me, the thing that would make the most sense from just a personnel standpoint would be, hey, let's for now operate under the assumption Tyler Smith will play left tackle, TJ Bass will play left guard, and then let's go hunt our center. Yeah. Let's do that. And then I think that that covers your bases a little more, because if you're taking a left tackle, you still have to go take a center.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you take a center, you've already got left guard and left tackle. You've got a contingency in place to figure that out. Is that sort of why you come down on the position that you think center is the odds on favorite right now?
Yeah, the way that we did the mock draft yesterday is we got fortunate. We took a defensive tackle with the third round pick. We took Jackson we took the back Benson, and then with the extra pick that we got, we took Jackson, the defensive tackle from Texas A&M. And that was a consensus that we were looking at. You know, we were thinking, let's, for the exercise sake, let's see if this thing will stretch to where we could get Norzad from
Penn State. Yeah.
And we had to sit the whole entire fourth round, and he fell to us. So we caught a break there with that, the way it worked out. I wouldn't have a problem if we took the BYU tackle,
Suamataia,
and then you took Norzad, say if you did happen to get him in the fifth round. I wouldn't have a problem with that, because I'm looking at a second round tackle. I'm looking at a fourth round center is what I'm looking at there. So that didn't bother me as much. And I was able to address the one technique at now I wasn't trying to convince the room about taking the tackle there from Texas A&M.
McKinley Jackson.
Jackson. I didn't have to. I wasn't like, you know, beating my fist on the table. I just said, listen, let's look at the options there. I didn't want anything to do with Mason Smith. I wanted I said, if we could address a 326-pound guy that plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage, I made my points. I think everybody in the room was okay with Jackson as well. So we took a gamble on it. It's one of those picks, I think, that if you made it in real life, people would probably say you reach. But we don't have a lot of options there at that one technique. And so I felt like that as a group, we felt like we kind of had to address it there. But to get back to how this thing can play out, yeah, I think you have options at left tackle. I think you have options at left guard. You don't have an option at center right now.
Yeah, and I think they like the development potential of a guy like Brock Hoffman on their roster right now. But I think if you were to say,
but
hey, where do I feel most comfortable? Like Tyler Smith at left tackle, TJ Bass at left guard, Brock Hoffman at center. Which do we feel the least comfortable in? I think they would say Hoffman at center.
That's it. And there's a lot of people out there that I trust that are very, very, very high on these offensive linemen. But then you start to talk about Brock Hoffman. It's like, man, he's a hardworking guy. Going to give you everything he has. It's not to the level of, man, I really, really like Powers Johnson. He could do this. I really, really like Barton because he could do this. I really like Frazier because he could do this.
Yeah.
I really like Van Pran because he could do this. When you start to talk about Brock Hoffman, hardworking guy, gives you everything he has.
Glass eater. Bit,
yeah. See, it's not the same tone, if I can use the right word there.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
He'll get every last bit of return out of his talent. That's what Brock Hoffman will do.
We're not saying anything bad about Brock Hoffman, but when we compare him, I was asked, I was on with Vach Lombardi this morning, before our show, and Vach and I were talking, and he asked me what I thought about Awesom Richards. And I said, let me try and compare Awesom Richards to Rosengarten from Washington, Fisher from Notre Dame, Foster from Missouri. Let me try and compare. See, Awesom Richards is not our BYU guy. I love when you say his name for me every time.
Suamata Ia.
I love that. I don't think that Awesom Richards is better than him. I don't think he's better than Memes. I don't think he's better than Morgan. I don't think he's better than Guyton. See, my comparison is, when you start to talk about, okay, just keep Tyler Smith at guard and play one of these other guys, I would rather play one of these other guys that I'm thinking about, and the center's the same way. I would rather play with Barton, Powers Johnson, Frazier, Van Pran, and even Norzad than I would Brock Hoffman.
Yeah, and I think that's why it feels like they've definitely, or at least for, not that they have, it feels like for me, and I think for you and a lot of other people, we're starting to narrow in on, okay, Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, those names right there are they feel like they're in the running potentially for you in the first round with the Cowboys. The question then becomes, what if you're not comfortable with Jackson Powers Johnson's medical?
Yeah.
What if Graham Barton goes ahead of where you're picking, or even still, maybe Jackson Powers Johnson's medical is fine and he goes ahead of you too. And then you're talking about you're missing the two center options. What do you do then? Well, we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to remind you that you're listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.